Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Annyeong.
Hola.
Hello, everyone.
Hey guys, welcome back. So...
I'll drive this.
Last noticias.
We do have Hoya news today. So first and foremost, the new year started the bestest and the brightest because ours truly, Adam, posted a YouTube video.
She was feeling motivated.
Yeah.
And it's a really good one, guys. So if you haven't seen it and you want to, if you want to see some of Adam's baby Hoya and then in a year see how big, ginormous, enormous they get, then go hop on, watch that one so then you can see them grow up.
I know, but the thing is, I'm a little worried now because some of those I may want to cut and propagate to sell.
So, okay, but that never seems to be a problem because they're already like, you like, okay, literally last time we cut a plant, you were like, okay. And then we made like a dozen plants and it was still huge.
Yeah, it was still Jurassic Park inside of your house.
No.
The only one that really like took a trimming was the, what was it? Oh, the globulosa.
Yeah, we
but
cut
that's
that
because
all
it,
the way down.
Well, it decapitated itself.
It
so.
Did, yeah.
What happened?
Because it was like one, it was one long vine that had split off into Y's a few times, but wrapped around a trellis.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was unwrapping it, we were gonna cut some of it off. Like it just, I took it off the trellis and then it just snapped itself. It just.
But now I have a piece of that.
You do, yeah.
Wait, can we make a little, your voice is a little bit quieter than mine or Jesse's, I feel like.
Is it? Yeah.
There we go.
Well, sorry, listeners, if you notice anything there.
Perfect. Should we just start over again?
No.
No.
Okay.
I don't think I can pretend that we didn't just do that.
Remember that one time we had to? That Jesse fell asleep.
Painful.
Oh my goodness. But anyway, yeah, so that's a good one. Go support our good old Adam Adam.
Who's that?
And Hot Dude.
Oh.
Oh not yeah. Thanks. Where can they go see this wonderful video, Adam?
You can check it out on YouTube. Not Dude.
K-N-O-T-D-E.
I also put out a new video on my travel channel with Steve.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. That's right, today.
Yeah, we recorded that back in April. So if that tells you about my mental stability, I mean, but
hey, new year, new you.
Exactly. But also it lets you relive a vacation. So aww. I'm like, it's still kind of fun. Like yeah. You kind of like forget all the things you did, but then when you have to edit a video of you doing those things, you're like, oh, I remember that.
Oh, that's so sweet. So yeah, go check it out. But in the world of Hoya, there was a publication. Actually, it's not a new publication.
Let me guess. Rada?
Yeah. Our good old Mikkel. But, you know, this isn't a new publication because it came out in July of 2022. I think sometimes it's just hard for us to catch publications or know that they're out there because it's not like they're like, I feel like a lot of my news I get probably from like Facebook groups or Instagram, but it's not like they're posting that out there. So really the only way you find it is if you go on to some of the research publication websites and you scroll through and you happen upon it. So I know somebody in one of the Facebook groups posted this one, said, oh, there's a new publication out there, and I hadn't heard of it. But this one's from July 2022, published by Rahayu, Ahmad, and Radha. And it's two new species, a subspecies, and six new records of Hoya from Sulawesi, Indonesia.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But I did a little like peeksy and looked through the article because I didn't have a chance to finish it yet. But this one,
you.
I know, I'm just real slacking this year
the
already.
The nerd is slacking.
You're fired.
Oh, frick. But if you're into caudata or small-leaved Hoya,
ooh.
Yeah, you should take a look.
Oh,
I know.
Okay, so they are very easy to miss, and there's no like Google alert set because today I was searching for a publication for Hoya retusa, which has been published.
Yeah,
I couldn't find it. Like, why? What am I doing wrong, Lydia?
I don't know. Sometimes they're published in like different places, and you have to. It's kind of hard. They don't make it easy.
Frustrating. Okay.
I know. But this one, there will be a nice, fresh, new, shiny little link posted.
Is there actual photos or just drawn photos of?
No, actual photos. Because this is a new one. It was just published in 2022. So.
Why isn't that linked on our Trello so I can look at it here?
Oh, I have it on here. I downloaded the article if you want to see it later.
Okay.
Okay.
I just want to see a picture of those leaves that you just teased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So caudata vibes, small leaf vibes. You guys should take a look.
Yeah. And that was a big point of making this podcast is like bringing those things up. And maybe you might not look on the Facebook groups, but you're hearing it now. And maybe that'll make you go click on our link and take a look-see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you love that. You can always find our Hoya news linked onto our show notes, which you can find the link officially. You can find the link at the end of this episode, but also on our Instagram. So, yeah.
Las noticias.
Okay, but what are we talking about today, Lydia?
Guys, we're going to talk about Hoya blooms.
Oh, we're going to talk about genitals.
Hoya's blooms? Shut up.
Oh, I think I should say, though, that I'm having allergies today. And if my voice sounds funny, that's why.
Because those genitals, that pollen just got all up in your face.
Yes, I was outside weed wacky yesterday. And remind me never to do that before recording again.
Got all up in there.
All up in there.
The whole country is like frozen. And you're like, I had to cut my weeds.
I know.
They were flowering and blooming.
Well, I sent you guys a picture of like the grass all over my glasses.
Yeah, yeah, it was like all over your face, bro.
Yeah, it was bad. But now I sound funny. So I wanted to make sure and say that.
Sultry. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm excited because I feel like when I first got into Hoya, blooms were like, that's not why I collected Hoya. I collected it for the foliage. But as time has gone on, and my favorite Hoya being the thin-leaved Hoya, and a lot of them have like my favorite type of blooms. Now I'm like all about them. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
Double excited.
Yeah.
I bet there is a video of me talking about Hoya on YouTube where I said, I don't really care about Hoya blooms because I'll never get to see them. So I usually pick my Hoya out by how the foliage looks.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure we've all been there because I'm like big leaves, veiny leaves. I want the leaves to like just pop and... Now I'm like, oh my God, that's such a cute bloom. Oh my God, that bloom is so fluffy. I need it.
Okay, but piggyback off of Adam's comment being like, I don't care about the blooms. When literally the other day he was saying, nothing is blooming right now. I'm so sad. Wait, is nothing blooming?
What about your Thomsonii that has like 200 blooms
on it? I know, but he was like, usually so many things are blooming at the same time and only one thing is blooming right now. And then I was over the other day and he goes, things are blooming again. I'm so happy. I'm like, okay, wow, what a problem to have.
Hashtag flex.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough trend. There was a couple tough months in there.
Okay, it was like two tough days for Dunk Daddy.
Meanwhile, his plants are still like growing like feet. And he was like, but it's not blooming.
See, I weed whack weeds. Adam weed whacks Hoya.
No. Bro, the amount of sweeping I have to do for those dead blooms.
Oh, goodness. I can't imagine.
It is a weight to bear. But the Thompsonii is blooming. It has tons of buds all over it.
Oh, you're going to have to post that one.
But they still haven't opened.
It's going
to
be like all pink once they
open.
And
I got my shiny new macro lens and I want to take a damn photo of that.
And it's flower. Not blooming.
But can you take like a vibey little photo of the Thompsonii with all of the blooms on it?
Oh, yeah.
And we can what post a little saying? Reel or something.
A waiting pot won't boil.
A watched pot.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're just like you're just like there with your macro lens and the blooms have been like, I'm not gonna come out because I'm naked.
Yeah. Well, and I need to rinse that one because it doesn't I wanted to do a time lapse of the blooms, but it's covered in sulfur still. So I'm like, oh, I really need to do but some.
I feel like sulfur is a look for 2023.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's fine.
Actually, no, we don't want it to be. That was a look for 2022. 2023, we're just manifesting.
No more sulfur.
Oh,
yeah, my bad. I forgot that.
Yeah, there still might be some people at like the tail end of it because I feel like it really exploded at like the end of 2022. So if you're actually doing the full treatment cycle, then there will be some lingering peeps in 2023.
She gave me a look because I yeeted away from my full treatment cycle. So that was a very pointed comment.
No, it felt very pointed. Saying,
she's time Adam complains about flat mites, let's remind him about not completing his full cycle.
She was like, so if you did a full cycle.
Not a lazy cycle. Oh my god. That shouldn't be a problem anymore. I love
but
that.
Anyway, should we just start out with going over some of the nitty gritty things, like the anatomy of a Hoya bloom?
Yes.
And then we'll go over some more fun things.
Do you know why I'm excited about the anatomy?
Why?
It's because
anatomy.
Because I'm excited for you to tell the world how you remember what the corona or the Corolla is.
Oh no, don't do that.
Yes.
Wait, I don't know this. Tell me.
So on a flower bud, the corona is the inner part of the flower, but the corolla is the outer part of the flower.
Like the fuzzy stuff that usually kind of folds back with the lacunosa.
Yeah, but if you, like, they sound pretty similar and it's hard to distinguish them. But the way that I remember corona is from the coronavirus, how we, like, stayed inside. So corona is the inside.
And then corolla is the outside.
Oh, whoops. That wasn't the one I was going to do, but that's a good one.
It works, though, because I was, like, all excited. And then she's just, like, taking me back to coronavirus, and I'm triggered all over the place.
Coronavirus.
Me, the world's biggest extrovert, have to stay home. And she's like, oh.
Corona is made us inside.
Anyway.
So anyway, okay, if that helps anybody else, you're welcome.
Yeah. I mean, it's helped me because I hate it, but also it's memorable.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. See, I was thinking like Toyota Corolla.
But
like
what?
Outside. My car's outside. I don't know. Oh. Outside of a car. Oh,
that's too complicated for me.
That's actually a pretty good one.
How is that more complicated than staying inside for coronavirus, going outside to my Corolla
because
car?
What if my Corolla car is inside the garage?
And what if I don't believe in coronavirus, so I still went outside? Just kidding. Just kidding. Big joke. Delete that.
Did you see my eyes go big? Yeah. Like, oh.
No, we all stayed home, y'all. So anyway.
Okay.
And
so,
now it's 2023 and we're talking about Hoya blooms. So we're just gonna move past that.
Yeah. So the anatomy of the flower, which that is very helpful to remember the pieces of the individual flower, but do we want to talk about the whole...
Should we talk about the bloom anatomy from peduncle up, out, down, wherever?
Yeah, what's a peduncle, dunk daddy? Tell us.
The dunk daddy. Well, a dunk daddy. I don't really have a professional definition of a peduncle, but so that's that's where the flowers come from.
Yeah. So the peduncle, sometimes people also call it a inflorescence stem, is that flower stalk that everyone always refers to and is our flower giver. But it's between, it grows between the petiole and the stem of the plant. So sometimes when someone has like a new vine growing, they confuse that new growth with a peduncle. But if you look closely, then you want to look for that growth that's happening between that petiole and stem. A lot of times it looks like a second arm that's like coming out. And then you know that that's a peduncle. So
right. But very quickly after they come out, they usually point downwards. So that's also should help you, because if something's still facing directly up, that's not a peduncle.
It's most likely not a peduncle.
Yeah.
Unless didn't you have that one Hoya where the peduncle sticks out straight?
Laterally.
Yes.
Yep. It's elliptica.
So sometimes it happens.
There's only a few Hoya.
Yeah. But most of them do point down.
Yeah.
So at the end of a peduncle is a spur, and that's where the flowers, the buds essentially will start developing.
So yeah, the flowers come from the spur, but that grows longer and longer each time it flowers, which is, I have some pretty big spurs, ladies.
Do you?
Dunk Daddy has a huge spur, but no.
Why did I laugh so hard?
But a lot of people, like there have been some people that confuse a very long spur on their peduncle with the age of the Hoya, which you can't really, because some Hoya flower constantly over and over and over again, like immediately. And I have like a lot of my Lacunosas, when the flowers are open, I can already see the spur producing new flowers right behind them while they're open.
Yes, yes.
Which is why we recommend not to cut off the spurs or the peduncles after they've bloomed once, because a lot of Hoyas will rebloom there. And if they won't, they usually fall off on their own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you can cut them off at a certain point if you're not enjoying the scent, which is our next anatomy piece, right?
Ooh, what is it?
The scent?
The pedicels.
The pedicel.
Once a flower blooms, you can cut it at the pedicel to remove the flowers if you no longer want them.
So the pedicel is the flower stem. So that's what attaches the flower bud to the spur, which is on the peduncle. So that's that like skinnier little stem that really makes it feel like it's like a little flower in a little bouquet.
Yeah, a bouquet. A
bouquet.
I don't know why people would want to cut off like Hoya flowers impersonally, but you know, like April had talked to us in her episode, there's one Hoya flower that just smells awful.
Cat pee.
And I know a lot of people have said like species affinity Burtonae also smells awful. Mine bloomed a lot and I couldn't smell anything, but I think my nose is broken.
Yeah. But also Kelly from Spork Utility, her son, she thinks, is allergic to pollen. And so she'll let them like form up open, and then she cuts them off. Yeah.
That's true.
So, but what I do is, because I don't like it when all of my blooms just like fall off and they're everywhere. So as soon as I see a tinge of yellow on the pedicel, because they go slightly yellow before they're going to fall off, at least the ones that I have gotten.
Okay. I don't know. I'm going to have to look.
Yeah. But they go like the color changes and it gets like a slightly yellowish, like I'm going to die kind of vibe. And then if you just like, just tap it, it falls off. So at that point, I'll just tap them and I grab them, like pinch them between my fingers and take them off, and then I throw them away so they don't get everywhere.
Lydia would. Lydia would do that to nature.
Yes, she would.
I thought it was so cute how in the picture I posted this week, the blooms of my Lacunosa that recently bloomed fell, but the leaf caught it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like I was in this moment where I was like, this is nature. It's so beautiful. And it happened to me. And I like took a bunch of pictures of it. And then I was like, oh, it's dead flowers. Okay.
No, but they're cute.
I thought it was cute how the leaf caught the dead blooms.
Like, don't leave me.
Yeah. Don't leave me.
Don't leave. Oh, that was good.
Oh God. I did a pun.
Yeah, you did.
Oh my gosh. So
just to recap there, pedicels is a little stem that holds the bud that forms into the actual flower.
Maybe we'll make like a little infographic something.
Yeah.
Just so that you can visually see it.
Plenty of photos of blooms.
Adam does. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I do.
But then the flower has its own anatomy.
Yeah. So most of the time when we look at the flowers that have formed and like the bloom itself, most people will just call it like the bloom or the flowers of the Hoya, but that's actually called the umbel or the inflorescence, which is the actual flower stalks. And umbel is actually from a Latin word for parcel, sunshade. So akin to like umbrella. So you can think of it as
under my umbrella.
Because yeah. I feel like a lot of times. Yeah. It like looks like a, like if it's a whole cluster of blooms,
oh, yeah.
It looks like a little umbrella. It's, so,
especially Carnosa.
Yes.
Because it's such a big bloomer, but also it's just a widespread bloom.
Mm-hmm. Bro, what if someone made an umbrella and it looked like a freaking Carnosa bloom when you opened it?
Oh my gosh, trademarked.
Registered.
We got to do that.
And then we made a fuzzy.
Okay, well.
That anyway. Might defeat the umbrella purpose. Anyway.
We're talking about COGS here. Cost of goods sold, Lydia. I don't know if we can afford the fuzzy.
We tried.
We can make it scratch and sniff and smell like chocolate, though.
Oh, goodness.
Tell me about the
anatomy of the flower bud itself.
The flower bud itself. Okay, so the flower bud itself has pretty much the same anatomy, I think, as most other flowers.
But the bud is like the flower that we're talking about now.
Okay. The flower.
Just letting people know, just in case they don't know.
So we've already discussed that. We already discussed that, like the gummy, juicy part in the middle is the corona. It's the inside. And then the fuzzy, star-shaped, some blooms, star-shaped, some not, is the corolla.
The outside of the flower.
Yes. And
you were saying that some of those bend just out and some of them bend like almost into themselves backwards?
Yeah, there's different kinds of corolla shapes. The most common ones that I'm aware of, like a reflexed corolla, means that the corolla goes back all the way. It's like on a multiflora, they call it akin to like a shooting star because it really looks like a shooting star, but that corolla shoots straight back.
Yes.
But they also have flat corollas,
which is much like the Carnosa. Mm-hmm,
caudata.
Yeah. That kind of... The star is presenting it. Like you see a star.
Yeah. It like opens and then it stops at the horizon, basically. Yeah. Another one is Revolute Corolla.
Yeah.
Which is like the Lacunosa.
Yeah. Or that the whole corolla just folds itself under, like kind of rolls like a rug. Bequito. And then it creates like a little like parka fuzz hoodie around the flower, corona.
Yeah. They're so cute. Although sometimes I've noticed on those Revolute Hoya, sometimes they don't reflex all the way.
Sometimes they don't.
I know. And I wonder what causes that, which I don't know, but I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then my favorite type of corolla shape is the campanulate corolla shape, which is like on the campanulata, danumensis, mapigera, and they look like little, they're like those big, like white, papery, almost napkin-y looking blooms,
look
which
like
I love.
Bells.
Like a little bell.
Yeah, they do also call them
the word bell. Campanulate sounds like campana in Spanish, which is bell.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They also call bell-shaped campanulate or bell-shaped. And then... Oh,
sorry, what's the Spanish word again of bell?
Campana.
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 Cool.
Bell. And the last one that I know of is an urn-shaped corolla, which is like the Hushkliana.
The urn. So is that what's referred to here as Ursulat?
Yes, I think so.
Is that not right?
No, there's like a couple ways to say some of these. So,
I like the what you said better because urn just...
Urn.
But it looks like an urn though. It does. When the bloom opens, the corona, you almost have to like peek inside. and it's like a little hole and
it never opens more.
It's like, yeah, it's like cupped, it's the, and then the ends are just like kind of like at the end, and it almost looks like you have to like peek inside the bloom to see the corona.
It's what the insularis bloom is. But it is very like that tubular, like an urn, and then the yeah. tip of it is just like a little star, yeah. and I had to cut it to see what the inside looked like.
It reminds me of when people used to flip their collar.
Oh, the polos?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's what it looks like, though.
Oh, we can call that the bro flower.
Yeah.
Bro flower.
Yeah, the bro bloom.
That well, sounds I had dirty, a though. I had a bro flower recently. See
my bro flower?
Oh, all of this sounds dirty. So
that's right. We're talking about
flowers. Right in line. We're talking about flower private parts. So.
Okay, so Lydia, you said you had a bro flower?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, so I had one on a Hushkliana.
Oh, yeah.
And classic my plants, it's supposed to be a whole, like, cluster on the umbel, but I only had one made it. Mm-hmm. Just one. But yeah. I still thoroughly enjoyed it, and she was cute, so.
So if you looked at these different types of morphology for the corolla, what would your favorite be? Your favorite would be the campanulata?
Campanulate. The campanulate blooms are my favorite. And a lot of the thin-leaved Hoyas have campanulate blooms.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why I love them so much. I don't know. I love the foliage. I know they seem plain, but those blooms are freaking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
I would have to say my favorites are... it's a tough call between revolute and flat.
Oh, you just like them flat like that?
Well, I like the fuzzy, but I also love when you can see the whole star shape. So,
oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
What about yours? What's your favorite shape of just
mine is the just flat one too.
Yeah,
I like it because it's like she's not shy. She's just out there showing it all off.
Yeah, and also like it usually gives you like a whole umbrella, like the unumble.
And they're supposed to be, yeah, like some of the flatter blooms that I've seen are big ones.
Yeah.
So I could just like run my finger.
Yeah. If they don't excited. Fall off and they all bloom.
Well, they'll be at Adam's house, so they'll be fine.
But I like those too because if you have a time lapse of them, you kind of watch the buds. Well, most Hoya flowers that I have, you watch the buds, like I call it the spread before they open. Because the buds form and it looks like you have like a fully formed bud that's about to open, mm-hmm. but you can tell when it is going to open because they all kind of spread apart.
Like a firework?
The pedicels like spread apart. Ooh. So when they do open, they don't like overlap each other, which but is really fun to watch.
That's so crazy how nature just knows to do that.
The flat ones spread apart even more because the whole star shows like the whole, and it just doesn't, they don't overlap each other. They all are like it's wild.
It's beautiful.
I love it.
Oh, but I think not that any of mine that are supposed to be in clusters have actually bloomed in clusters, but when I watch those time lapses and there's just like the cluster of the blooms and they all open, just it's like popcorn popping, which is so cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
I have that one. I did a one time lapse of, I think it was my EPC, Finlay Sonia EPC 318, mm-hmm. and I put it to Dirty Pop. And I timed, because you know they kind of pop when they open.
Yeah.
I timed the first pop to what it's like, Dirty Pop.
Pop.
And yeah, it's pretty funny.
I love it.
And what about the little drippy drip juice that comes out of?
That is just that's nectar.
Oh, Lord. This is the dirtiest episode we've ever recorded.
I always get comments. People are like confused that it would taste good. And I'm like, it's just nectar, which is just sugar water.
Yeah.
So lick your flowers.
I think it's important to talk about because like people might see it and be like, oh no, my foliage is melting or something.
Yeah.
If it's your first bloom and you notice a little bit of teardrop looking juice.
Yeah. It's just trying to be like, hey, come over here.
As long as you don't have
I'm ready to be pollinated.
Not lactate allergy.
Latex.
Latex allergy.
But I feel like the latex allergy would only be like if you chewed on the flower because the nectar, better safe than sorry.
I was about to say, we are not doctors or botanists, so do everything in this podcast at your own risk.
Exactly.
But which one of your flowers are super drippy? Like of the ones that have bloomed for me?
And carrie eye.
Oh,
And it's like a red drip.
Yes, it is. It is. Surprisingly, one that is very, very drippy for me is Mapujera, which is surprising because that one is an overnight bloom. Like it blooms at night and by morning it's closed. But every single time.
It's just gushing.
Yeah, it is. Oh, God.
Yes, it's probably Sploosh. Saying that too.
Oh, God.
See, I feel like we teeter the line of that explicit mark. Yes. No, I feel like we haven't really crossed it.
Well, we're just gonna bring that down a notch.
PR Park over here is like, no.
But anyway, when I wake up in the morning and the blooms close, there's always like drops of nectar on my shelf. So
yeah. Yeah, see, I am fine.
What? I didn't say anything. The other interesting thing.
We also say anyway way too much. Do we? Just gonna go ahead and point that out.
Do we? I was just gonna say anyway.
Anyway. So yeah.
Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Looking to elevate your gardening game this season? Well, look no further than Coast of Maine, your go-to source for premium organic soils for over 28 years. Organic approved and sourced from oceans and farms, their full range of garden and lawn products are designed to restore roots to the natural world.
So picture this. You're struggling with lackluster soil, just like I did last year, and your garden plans just aren't thriving. And that was until we discovered Coast of Maine. Their products infuse my soil with the healthy microbes and nutrients it was craving, resulting in vibrant outdoor plants that practically thanked me for the upgrade.
Omri listed and crafted from natural ingredients like lobster shells and fish bones, their products not only nourish your plants, but also your peace of mind.
Are you ready to take your garden to the next level? Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. That's why their products are carried by local retail partners who provide advice and insight, not just found in big box stores.
And Coast of Maine knows, from beginning to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere.
Their products make organic gardening simple and approachable for everyone.
Let's get growing together.
Visit coastofmaine.com today. That's coastofmaine with an E.com. I can take the nectar being everywhere, but if when it's the obovata or acarii and it's that red color, I don't love those. That's probably my least favorite ones, but it still tastes good.
You should collect it and see if you can make it like lipstick.
Someone did ask me when they saw me licking gloss. A flower, they're like, I wonder if different species taste differently. And while I know different species flowers smell differently, I think nectar is nectar.
Yeah, because I've licked my philodendrons.
Yeah, the extra floral nectar. And it tastes the same. Yeah. Mm. Okay, well, I'm glad that that's not a video podcast because the action that I just witnessed. Anyway. So
send me cash if you want to see it.
But yeah, so I think it tastes the same, but I also don't have a very like distinguished taste.
Yeah.
So I kind of want somebody who's like a foodie who really, you know, can really dial into the palate.
Me.
Is that you? Like, it's do you me. Taste I'm things and you're like, oh, I can taste the this and I can taste this. Okay. And I wonder if different flowers would taste different. But then you have to them all blooming at the same time. Because you have to.
So I have to go to Adam's house.
You almost would have to like, because it has to be like a sufficient amount. You don't like enough to like make a tiny lollipop or something.
Yeah.
Like just like really suck them out of there or something.
Oh, I'm going to milk my pedestal.
I like this idea of Hoya lollipops.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Also, the pedestal is the stem of the flower.
But it just sounded less bad than the rest of the stuff that I could have said.
God. Say it. What are you going to milk? Dunk Daddy. Yeah!
Okay.
So there's some differences between different Hoya. And like we were saying, like the Mapujera.
Oh, we didn't talk about the Polynarum. Sorry.
Do you want to?
also part of the anatomy of the flower is pollinarum, which is where the pollen is. And it's much like a orchid flower where it's like a little capsule that has the pollen inside of it. Unlike other flowers, that pollen is just
everywhere. And everywhere. That's what everyone's trying to get to when they want to pollinate, or no?
So basically this pollinarium, when it is in the right spot, it will create like a tube from it to the ovary of the plant to release the pollen.
Wow. Yeah.
But it's really complicated since only like four people that I know of successfully hand pollinate. So
and they are keeping that under lock and key because we have tried.
Yeah. And we will continue trying.
Yes. Mr. What's his name? Ted Green. He would have told us.
What do you have? I think Ted would have.
Yeah. Because he's a gem.
Like, Ted shared everything because in Fraterna, he actually talked about tissue culturing Hoya and his results with that and gave recipes for the solution to tissue culture.
We're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
She's going to put you under whipping lock and key.
Get on to the next one. I'm just kidding. But yeah, there's some oddities and differences.
I'm going to get a text from Lydia in the middle of the night and be like, how wet is that flower? Is your bro flower ready?
Is she dripping?
Is it color?
Oh, Lydia's getting in on the game. Okay.
No, take that out. Okay, so there's some oddities and differences between different Hoya blooms. One being how many blooms you can get.
Yes.
Some of my favorite ones are on the fewer side. And honestly, even the ones where you're supposed to get clusters of them, I've only gotten one because I don't, my plants hate me. But anyway.
Not true.
But when I was reading in the handbook from the Swedish Hoya Society, which we are now a part of, you can see some umbels have one, sometimes up to like four. The more common amount they say is like between 20 to 30, but then some can have upwards to 50 to 60, which I feel like is a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot.
Okay, but one of the things that you mentioned earlier, Jesse, you're talking about how you have, like, sometimes peduncles will form and then they never bud up. Like, it's just the peduncle, the spur is there, but you never see any buds form. And
that's happened to me a lot. Tell me more.
But I actually had that happen before on my carrier. I was getting peduncle after peduncle after peduncle on them. And it wasn't until recently, and this is like 2 years later, that they finally started giving me blooms. And some Hoya are like seasonal bloomers, so they don't bloom year round, although some do.
Yeah. What's weird, was your spur growing or was the...
No, it just, yeah, it just grew.
Yeah, that's the same with my
obovata. The peduncle grew and it, yeah, it just sat there for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then it finally bloomed.
So do you believe that that's a seasonal bloomer?
I have heard that carrier and obovata are seasonal bloomers and sometimes they need the shock of the season changing for them to start blooming.
Mm. Okay, and yours got shocked when you moved and you put them in a...
Yes, so from... Like when it was in like fall and it got a little bit of shock and then it started blooming.
Okay. See, my Thompsonii is one that has peduncles everywhere.
Yes.
But those ones actually like the spur keeps growing because little tiny buds like try to form and then they fall off. They try to form and they fall off. But it's really blooming right now as we indicated earlier in the episode. So that one definitely is probably a winter bloomer. But that one... has been covered in peduncles for a year and nothing has happened until just now.
Yeah.
So it's weird how that happened. I don't know.
I have
frustrating sometimes.
IMO8 that I recently acquired over like the summertime and I had peduncles that I had formed, but it never budded up. And this winter, they're literally bloom after bloom after bloom. We even went to the, what is it? The Huntington Beach SoCal
rare plant or club
plant swap trade something. And there was one there where the flower had opened and I was like, oh my gosh, she's finally flowering. But then everybody who has one, theirs are budding up too. So I think that one might be a winter bloomer too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of fun.
But then some of them, like you have Hoya that bloom all year round.
Yes. Lacanosa usually are yearly bloomers.
And Jesse got that Lacunosa bloom too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My regular Lacunosa bloomed recently. And then my unknown seedling has a little peduncle in it.
Yeah. Which one? Unknown seedling?
The one.
Yeah. Oh, from, oh.
But you know, I'm taking credit for that. No, I'm just kidding. Mine does not have a peduncle.
I would fully give you
actually
credit.
No, I think it did have a little peduncle. A little dunk. I hope that flowers because I'm excited to see what they look like.
Me too.
But I love that we're, go ahead.
And my Vankvensis also has
a peduncle. That's right. Mm-hmm. You've been on dunk watch.
But it has taken me about 3.5 years to get here.
Yeah.
Because I know I get a lot of messages where people are like, I've had my hair for a year and I've never gotten a peduncle. Like, it took me years. It took me several moves and several setups to get to where I'm finally getting peduncles. And then the peduncles wouldn't bloom. Now I'm finally getting peduncles and getting them to bloom. I'm adjusting my care. I'm adjusting everything.
Yeah.
You just got to find your rhythm.
It's a journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I went like 2 years without having a single bloom. But then ever since I consistently started using the nutrient for bloom growth, that's when I really started getting the blooms like you, Adam.
You started my nutrient system.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, not all blooms make it. I mean, I mostly only get one out of a whole cluster, but I still enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, still that one.
So you just got to enjoy them when they come.
That's right. Do we want to talk about
our experiences?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been throwing that in here and there.
We do have a favorite Hoya flower coming up. Okay.
I have easiest.
I was going to talk about that.
Your easiest flowering Hoya, your favorite Hoya flower, and a Hoya you hope to flower.
Okay. So our flowering experience, is that just meaning like, I don't know.
Adam's like, everything's bloomed for me. Everything's great. Gosh.
Okay, well, so my flowering experience is my life, and it's wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. Well, how about we, what is the easiest flowering Hoya for you? Like, one that's always flowering for you.
Oh, my gosh.
No qualms. They don't fall off. Like,
you could put it in a dark room and it'll still flower.
Lacunosa. Like, wow. I feel like most Lacunosa varieties. Right?
Yeah, because I got that Lacunosa.
I mean,
black
Jesse, you had a Lacunosa bloom.
I got a Lacunosa bloom, it's got to be easy.
No, I didn't mean it that way. But you know what I'm saying.
But I do mean it that way because, like, I literally pulled that out of a pot yesterday and was like, rip from dry.
And the roots were like attached to the cash bow.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, look at you doing the most. So, yeah.
Yeah, Lacunosa definitely, I think, is the easiest.
Yeah, for me. So the funny thing is, I got a Lacunosa black from you, and it had spurs that were like 1-2 inches long on them, and it's never bloomed for me. So, you know, she's doing her thing. It's fine. But the ones that are consistently always blooming for me are my Lokii and my Mapujera. All the time. There are always blooms forming on there and opening up for me.
That's cute. I love that. And those Mapujera, is that the big blooms that you like?
Yes. Nice. Like literally when they grow, it is so fun to watch them every day because they get like bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it literally is like, it's a pretty large bloom. Like it fits in the middle of my palm.
Oh.
And it's this like very thin, dainty looking
bloom.
Next
time that blooms, I want to like come set a time lapse up.
And it only opens at night. So I have to be up like right at the right time and it'll boop open. And then by morning closed. And then by like the end of the day, it falls off.
Open, sploosh, close.
Yes.
She's a quickie.
She gets it done. So that's our bloom experience. I think the first Hoya that ever bloomed for me was my Carnosa, my heirloom Carnosa, which I can call it an heirloom Carnosa because it has been passed down.
Yeah.
Like it's not a cultivar, but that's what they just refer to it as. Yeah. But that was my first flower for Hoya ever, I think. Ooh, do you guys remember yours?
I documented last year my first flower that I got because I was so excited.
Okay, well, while she looks that up, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to tell about how I cheated and I bought several Hoya that had peduncles. They already had umbels and everything. It was just waiting for the flower to pop open.
Yeah.
So anytime I would see something like that, I would buy
it. Snag it.
And then I'd be like, oh my God, my Hoya bloomed. But it was already there. Like it was at the wind mark.
What was the first one though? Do you remember?
The also Carrier.
Oh, Carrier.
Yeah. Okay, and cool. It smelled like chocolates.
Yes,
that one's a good one. Yeah. So January 22nd of 2022, my Paxtonia bloomed.
012222.
Yep.
That's a good number.
Yeah, it is. And then from there, literally, like, stuff was just popping off.
Off. So, okay.
Yeah. What a great year.
That's exciting. Okay, so let's go to easiest flower we already kind of talked about, right?
Yes.
Lacanosa.
Yes.
That's definitely the easiest. Do you feel the same about that? Oh, yeah.
No, my lacunosa don't flower for me, so I can't say the same.
Yeah, you did just say that. I'm sorry. That's I really okay. am listening.
That's Can you okay. repeat it again?
But my look, yeah.
Just so I feel like
okay. about me.
Okay, Jesse, what's your favorite Hoya flower?
Definitely probably the undulata. I've never had it flower for me, but I did get to see it at Unsolicited Plant Talks, and it's just pink and it's fluffy, and it's literally me in Hoya version.
I was surprised by how big those buds were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get huge.
I thought they would just be like but before Carnosa they open, size,
there's but... like it's like a bud, but then it has like a long. It almost looks like I don't know how to explain it. Those bubbling needle ornaments that you can buy, like lights for like vintage lights that they were like pointed at the top and they bubbled.
Like a little wisp.
Well, no, but it was like a bulb light for your Christmas tree, and then it had like a little water. Pointy and it bubbled because the light heated it up and it boiled it.
Oh, anyway, I've never had one of those.
They're vintage and they're really cute.
Yeah, that must have been a really long time ago. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
What a bird.
It was. But that's what they look like because they have like a very long pointed tip, almost like, you know, a knitting needle.
Wow.
Out of the bud. That's wild.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I can't wait for one day me to have an undulata that lives and blooms and then I have the fuzzy all to myself.
Yes. Oh. Rub your face all over it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's your favorite, Lydia?
Ooh. So I had written down Mapujara, forgetting that I was going to mention it as one of my easiest flowering Hoya. But I would have to say Papachoniae. It's one of the most interesting Hoya flowers I've ever seen. It doesn't even quite like... even look like a Hoya flower, but it's just so it's almost like urn like but at the end there's these like little parts of the flower that like stick out like little fingers. But the best part about Papachoniae,
yep, that's it.
Don't they look really interesting?
Yeah,
they're really weird.
It kind of looks like a starfish getting sucked into a portal.
It's really, they're kind of freaky actually, but they're the most giving because Papachoniae are self-pollinating. And last year, my Papachoniae,
double same.
Last year, my Papachoniae, like I got 5 blooms or something and I had grown them from seed that year. And they gave me seeds. So,
and Adam and I also received seeds. And we got, I had a dry bunch of moss.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Same? Okay, cool.
But
they killed my babies.
We did. And then,
my babies.
But the thing is, and Lydia, Lydia would like post a thing of a Hoya. I was like, ooh, what Hoya is that? And she was like, oh, that's the Papachoniae, the one that I gave you that you killed.
How's yours doing? Yours should look like this too.
And but I was she like, gave me a new one. And it's, you know.
Not thriving?
It's fine. Okay. It's good.
It's okay. She never gave She's me a replacement. Uh-huh. So once yours thrives, you got
okay,
me.
So new sticker idea. No self-pollinating shame. And then we could just have a Papachoniae flower.
I love it.
Oh, gosh.
Or something along the lines of like self-pollinating.
Yeah.
But that was like...
I self-pollinated this morning. And then it could be the Papachoniae flower.
I'm part of the self-pollinating club.
Yeah, okay.
I love that. Okay.
My favorite flower. Aww. Are we ready to talk about mine?
Yes.
My favorite flower. Oh, this is a really tough one. But in my collection so far, the ones that I've bloomed, Elliptica. Because it's so...
You like them teeth.
It's so structural. Like, we didn't really talk about it, but there are different... corona types. So you have the elliptica that has like the upright corona. So like that star kind of jets up. And then the elliptica also has the reflexed corolla. I don't know. It's just such a cool flower.
It's very like a statement.
Are gorgeous.
She's just like, bah!
Yeah.
And like right there.
Like up in your face and arms
flexed
back.
Out. Just, and it's like, here's my corona.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. That's all the reflex toy are like.
But before it opens, it is like, it looks like a molar. It just looks like a bundle of teeth. It's so wild, but it's fun. I loved it.
It's anyway, a cutie.
I also really love the Lacanosa because of the fuzzy corolla, you know?
Yes. Oh, I can't get over the fuzz. There was one time, off topic, but one time, Jesse and I went to California and I saw a basket of Lacanosa and it had a bunch of peduncles on it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is my only chance. And so I took it and then I repotted it and then all the peduncles fell off and it died.
Because she repotted it like the moment it got home. I was like, girl, who repots something when it's blooming?
Yeah. So anyway, I tried.
She tried to cheat my way and it didn't work.
Yeah.
But okay, last one. What is a Hoya that you hope flowers in your collection for 2023?
Well, mine was part of, I think, the last episode.
It was.
Ganungading, but also Elliptica. So those are still the ones I really want to flower for me. What I want to manifest for Adam's collection is that Imperialis that I did not give him.
I gave it to Lydia.
That is now at Lydia's house.
Okay, so let me remove that.
What are you
manifestation
saying?
Because it's saying? Never ever going to happen.
Shut up.
Literally, I was like, Adam needs to have this Hoya because that bloom should be the size of my hand.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and then it was like flopping around on this trellis. He goes, I don't really want this anymore. Gives it to me.
Yeah.
Well, I have one, so maybe I can do it.
Yeah. That would be a cool bloom to see.
Yeah, because Lydia's not going to get it.
What? Okay.
I'm just making you like have that desire so that you like kick it up a notch and it happens. Yeah. Like that Asian achievement needs to be unlocked.
Mm-hmm. What about
reverse
you,
psychology?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of basic, but I really want to see my inner variegated Lacanosa bloom. It created a peduncle and it budded up and then they all fell off and it's done. The peduncle has done nothing.
Dang.
I wonder if I'm still alive.
Oh, I better be.
I hope so. Anyway, that's so exciting. I really hope it blooms. And it's not basic. No Hoya is basic.
Yeah, I know. But it's a Lacanosa. But still, it's just...
Because there's always the hope that it'll look different.
There is the hope that it'll look different. And I'm finding that now because I have a lot of these Lacanosa that you and I have gathered from our California trip from like when we met Ara.
Mm-hmm.
And that I've been propagating for all of us. And they're starting to bloom. But then they just look like a normal Lacanosa flower. But it's still fun.
Yeah. You know?
Are there variegated blooms?
My Multiflora Corolla is variegated.
The regular one or the variegated?
The variegated.
Variegated one. Yours is actually, it's beautiful because it's like ruffly in the corona and it's like a shiny, sheen, sparkly purple, like a deep, deep purple. I think it's the literal beautifulest thing ever.
Oh, but that's the corona. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the outside of it is striped with green and white.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like before it opens.
So before it opens on the outer side of the...
It's striped green and white. And then when it opens and... That's on the back side of the Corolla.
I never paid attention to that. Okay, next time.
Yeah, I'll post. We can post photos in the story.
Okay, next time. Thank you. I'll have to look. A Hoya that I really want to flower this year. So I talked about it in another episode that my Campanulata was budding up. And it has been for a long time. And the buds keep on falling off. And the spur is getting longer and longer. And I think I'm giving it too much light. And so they're just falling off. So I put it into a darker spot. And now there's more buds forming on it. Yeah. So I am really, really hoping this is going to be the year that dang Hoya blooms because it is one of the ones that really sparked my love for thin-leaved Hoya was the Campanulata. And now it's giving me these like big, huge leaves and it has peduncles. So I'm so hoping that this is the year it blooms. Cross your fingers for me.
I'm crossing everything.
So do you think that too much light is is something that some Hoya
it's a are factor. Just like, ugh.
I think blooms. It could be because literally the only thing that I can think of was this peduncle formed at the very top of this U-shaped trellis and it is right underneath the grow light. And every single time it'll bud up just a little bit and then they just fall off. And the only thing I could think about was it was just too close to the light. So I've since shut that light off and put some more of my thin leaved Hoya up there that can do without a lot of light and see if that's going to do the trick. Because that's the only thing I can think of because humidity is not a factor. Watering is not a factor. Nothing else is a factor. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what might be it. And I'm hoping because I really want it to bloom.
I've definitely had leaves that form too close to the light and then they just grow wonky because of the excessive light.
Heat
yeah, and light.
Yeah.
So maybe.
So I'm hoping that'll do the trick.
I've done that with a couple of Hoya too. That have been flowering but not surviving. I've moved it away from the light. So I hope that's a trick.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah.
But we are going to make a post after this episode goes up. And we'd love for you guys to share what Hoya you hope to bloom this year. And we hope this year is a blooming year for everybody in the LTH fam.
Whoop, whoop. Oh, wait.
But if you all like listening to this podcast, give us a follow, a rating,
a share,
a comment.
Yes, all of that will help get us into other people's ears.
Yeah, and we'd so appreciate it. But also, you can find us on our Instagram at lets.talkhoya.
Yes, which we'll have a post today. And also tag us if you have Hoya blooms. Like, we want to see your favorite bloom. We want to see your easiest bloom. And, you know, write that on the photo and tag it. And we'll add it to a highlight bubble for this episode. So anyone who listens to this after the fact can just go to our Instagram and look at all the flowers.
Yes. Oh, a blooming week for y'all.
Yes.
Show us the flowers.
Show us those genitals.
Show us your junk. Just kidding. So. Keep it to flowers because I'm checking those DMs and I do not want to see anything that is not Hoya related. I will be mad and I will respond in lots of angry Spanish. Anyway.
Are you demanding?
If you guys want to find the links and some of the things that we talked about here, our show notes are available every other week with all of our episodes. You can find it. We'll post it on our stories, but you can always find it linked on the bio of our Instagram.
Yes. And if you want to follow us individually on Instagram, my handle is at notdude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az with Adam.
And after a small hiccup with my axis, I am at Perritos y Plants. Adios.
Adios.
Bye.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.